Our overall theme this morning has to do with how the spiritual journey goes forward not in a straight progression, but in fits and starts. You know, two steps forward, one step back. So as I read this brief passage from Acts, pay particular attention to the challenges the Apostle Paul faces as he seeks to travel from one place to another. For his journey, it is literally a couple of steps forward here, a step or two back here, a leap to the side here before the way is open. Last week we continue to be in Acts. We were with Peter. This time we are with Paul. From the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we begin with the 6th verse. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I know there are many in this congregation who travel. Some of you travel regularly for business, for pleasure. And sometimes the trip goes off without a hitch. The plane is on time. The security line is short, the flight is smooth, the movie a good one. But sometimes it isn't. The plane is late, the connection is missed, and you're sitting beside a snorer. Well, the Apostle Paul knew about inconvenience when it came to traveling, and our passage gives just a snippet of some of that inconvenience. Let's familiarize ourselves with where we are in this story as we just read a brief few verses of the overall narrative. The narrative in Acts has moved away from Peter to center first on Paul and Barnabas, and then on Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Remember, the church beginning in Jerusalem, as we talked last week, spread outward through Samaria into Joppa, where lived Cornelius. And since then, the gospel has spread northward into Syria, where in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas are commissioned to spread the gospel into other cities. Paul and Barnabas make a missionary journey to Cyprus and Galatia, which is in modern-day Turkey. Returning to Antioch, they find a theological storm brewing. A theological debate threatens the very life of the infant church. Paul and Barnabas, acting as messengers between the Antioch, or the Gentile, and Jerusalem Jewish churches, attend that council in Jerusalem, recorded in Acts 15, where the debate centers around whether Gentile converts must be circumcised. And you remember we talked a little bit about this last week. and receiving the judgment of the Jerusalem council with thanksgiving, which indicated that, in fact, converts do not have to be circumcised, Paul and Barnabas prepare for a second missionary journey, planning to return to Galatia and many of the cities they had visited before. However, conflict once again rears its ugly head as Paul and Barnabas have a strong disagreement over a disciple named John Mark, with the disagreement becoming so acrimonious that Paul and Barnabas split up, Barnabas taking John Mark and sailing to Cyprus, with Paul choosing Silas to accompany him to Asia Minor. Preliminary obstacles overcome and joined by Timothy in Lystra, Paul and Silas continue westward. And for reasons unknown to us, Paul is forced to go through Phrygia and Galatia without speaking the word of God. And this must have been difficult for Paul, as remember, he had spent time in church planting in Galatia earlier and surely wanted to see how the churches were faring. They then attempted to go into Bithynia in the direction of present-day Istanbul, but again were forbidden. To the reader, it is obvious that God has other plans in store for Paul, Silas, and Timothy. But for Paul, it must have been incredibly frustrating to once again attempt to do one thing, to go in one direction, only to have his plans thwarted. Finally, after a series of false starts, theological debate, personality conflict, thwarted travel itineraries, frustration, Paul receives a vision. Finally, the divine will is revealed. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And the journey to Macedonia, an ancient country comprising parts of modern-day Greece and Bulgaria and former Yugoslavia, proves to be one of those hassle-free trips. One where the flight is on time, you're bumped to business class, and your luggage is the first one off the chute. There must have been glorious weather, and the wind must have been blowing in the right direction, because they sailed across the Aegean to Macedonia in record time. Their connections were unhindered, and their lodging problem was managed shortly after their arrival in Philippi, when they meet Lydia, a businesswoman from Thyatira, who converts and opens their home to them. Yes, even with this brief description, doesn't it seem that in Paul's life, his journeys, he goes a step here, a step there, only to have to retreat a few steps. He takes a step forward here, a step forward there, two steps backward here, a step forward here, before finally figuring out where he is to go. Two observations for your reflection. First, this passage reminds us that the Holy Spirit works even in the midst of disunity, conflict, even theological disagreement. You know, often we think of the early church with an idealistic view. Perhaps you have heard the desire expressed by many contemporary Christians to get back to how it was in the early church, when it was new and fresh and free from conflict, when there was a unity of purpose with everyone working together and supporting each other. Whereas in reality, though there is the excitement and freshness that always surrounds a new endeavor, though there is the sense of unity that comes from being a persecuted minority, as many of those early Christians were, still there was conflict, even among the Christian brothers and sisters from the beginning. We see this in the conflict surrounding circumcision. We see this in the interpersonal conflict between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. We see this in the conflict over leadership. There was also frustration when things didn't proceed as desired. The early church was, in some senses, a fractured community. And still we witness the Holy Spirit at work. And surely this is good news, not only to a world Christianity which is divided over issues ranging from practices of infant baptism to the authority of Scripture, but also to local congregations as they face their own struggles. The Holy Spirit is at work, often it seems, in spite of ourselves. We may disagree on matters of theology or the definition of marriage, but what we do agree on is the call of Christ to engage in mission as the Holy Spirit leads us out into our communities, into our world, to alleviate human need. Other things may divide, but mission unites through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and such is cause for celebration. And secondly, this passage seems to reflect something of an accurate model of journeying in the faith. By accurate, I mean in our faith journeys, we probably proceed by jumps and starts, sputtering along, two steps forward, one step back, rather than a smooth upward procession towards unity with God. Sometimes we are incredibly frustrated in our relationship with Christ and our brothers and sisters in the faith, while at other times we experience spiritual highs or feelings of confidence and optimism in our relationship with God. There are peaks and valleys in our spiritual journeys. I know there are in mine. And this passage is comforting as we see the Apostle Paul experiencing the same thing. Sometimes things are great. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes the trip proceeds without a hitch. Sometimes every step of the way seems to be a nightmare. Sometimes God seems really close. Sometimes God seems far away. Sometimes you have no clue as to where God is leading you. Sometimes you feel God's right beside you, or better yet, right out in front of you, beckoning you down a particular path. Yes, if we are honest with ourselves, we'll probably admit that the model of two steps forward, one step back, false starts and frustration, mixed in with some sure signs of God's presence and feelings approaching the peace of God which passes all understanding, is a fairly accurate model of the spiritual journey. And when you really think about it, maybe Paul would have never had the vision about going to Macedonia if he had not first had the false starts. Maybe the frustration is a requisite for being able to receive and then act upon the vision. Maybe the clouded horizon is necessary for the clarity of vision to break through. Maybe the crown only comes after first experiencing something of the cross. You know, Paul had a confidence that despite the false starts, the frustration he experienced, that God in Jesus Christ was not only leading him, but also provided the goal towards which he was aiming. That's why he was able to write, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ." As we continue our journeys of faith with its attendant lulls and times of progress, may the model of Paul's journey be of comfort to us. Two steps forward, one step back. Confident always that God is present with each step, sometimes hidden, sometimes visible, but always present.